Blog Talk Radio. What happens after several denials, delays, or rejections for disability benefits after a car accident from insurance companies or employers when resources are devastated, leaving most injured discouraged? From my perspective, this is the place many companies who lack integrity want you. Desperate, yes, desperate enough to walk away from the benefits you deserve, or take such a reduction in money that it leaves the injured or sick living in poverty for most of the remaining years. I suspect many people experience this, and it's played out every single day. Our Congress and our state representatives let it go on. Why? Is it the lobbyists hired by insurance companies or employers? How many people have spent their lives struggling with a disability because our representatives have failed them? Realize that rejection is the goal to get you to give up your disability claim. Don't feel ashamed. In my opinion, the injured have been subjected to this kind of behavior for generations. So, from my perspective, those who intimidate and harass their insurers by this time are good at it. On the other hand, most injured people are like minnow fish swimming in a pool of sharks. Your chances of overcoming these odds are slim. What can you do? Let's talk about you and rejection today here on Esther's Radio Show. Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Esther on Blog Talk Radio. This March 2nd, 2013. This is your car accident radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Esther, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. Dial 718-766-4385. Again, that's 718-766-4385. And participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured just like you who may be experiencing rejection by an employer or insurance company is waiting to hear your story. Personally, firsthand, I know your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, LifeWise Insurance Company, Social Security, and employer SNC-Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. Has tragedy struck in your life, your family's life, or friends' lives? There are thousands of car accidents every single day. People with injuries face a unique set of problems, but don't face them alone. Pick up a copy of Car Accident by Estra. Estra understands your situation and will bring wisdom, knowledge, and support. Learn from her experiences and learn insurance company and employer secrets. Car Accident by Estra is available at all major bookstores. This includes Amazon, Barnes & Noble, eBay, Google, Powell's, and Tower Books, just to name a few. Pick up a copy today. You be prepared and you be informed. Use the checklist in the back of the book at the scene of a collision, so keep a copy in your car. It's easy to forget something when you're shaken up. Isn't it about time you get answers? Buy it online right now. Then listen to Estra's radio show every Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio. And now every Wednesday on Estrus TV, on Blog TV. Now, for our personal injury in the news this week. These are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. This week's first, because we have two today, personal injury news comes from Disability Scoop. And the title of the article is TSA Apologizes for Disability Screening Debacle, and it's by Michelle Diamant. Quote, the Transportation Security Department is apologizing after a three-year-old in a wheelchair was told she would receive a pat-down by agents. The incident earlier this month at the St. Louis airport sparked an outcry online after the girl's parents posted a video on YouTube documenting their experience. The post has been viewed nearly 250,000 times. The family was headed to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, when they were pulled aside by a TSA agent who indicated that they would pat down the girl named Lucy. In the video, Lucy is seen crying. TSA agents are heard telling her mother that it is illegal to tape such interaction, which agency officials now say is not true. Eventually, agents decided not to pat down the child. We regret that this happened, and TSA apologized directly to the family for their inconvenience at the airport. The agency wrote on their website, "This will be addressed with our workforce so we can continue to treat all passengers with the dignity and respect they deserve." End quote. And so here comes my comments here. You know, no matter what age you are, or whether you're abled or disabled, everyone deserves a level of respect. When being harassed or intimidated, you must always be prepared by keeping a video camera available and ready to roll, even when dealing with TSA. It's important to document any behavior that impacts your well-being. I mean, that's just very important because you just never know, especially if you're being harassed and intimidated after a car accident. In my opinion, insurance companies and employers can be pretty ruthless at times, so you need to be able to document their behavior. Okay, I'm going to go on to the second article for this week, and it comes from sports.yahoo.com, and the name of the article is UConn, which is short for University of Connecticut, RB, which is for running back, Martin Hippolyte in serious condition following a car accident. And it's actually by Graham Watson, known as Dr. Saturday. Quote, Connecticut running back Martin Hippolyte was a passenger in a two-car accident in Durham, New Hampshire, that left one man dead and two others in serious condition. Hippolyte is listed in serious condition in the intensive care unit of Portsmouth Regional Hospital, according to Hartford Courant. The paper also reported that UConn officials, which is the short for University of Connecticut, officials had been in touch with Hippolyte's doctors and said that he could be discharged over the next few days. The accident occurred on Saturday morning on Route 4 in Durham, near the University of New Hampshire's campus. According to police, Ryan Merchant, 22, the driver of the vehicle with Hippolyte, 22, so they're both two 22-year-old kids, or young adults, I should say, was attempting to pass another vehicle on a two-lane highway when it hit Bruce Larson, 74, head-on. That is really difficult. Larson, a judge in New Hampshire, was pronounced dead at the scene. The Associated Press reported that Merchant was in serious condition. Hippolyte was the backup fullback last season with just 69 yards on 19 carries. He missed all of 2011 with a knee injury. End quote. Whew. You know, Martin, I just want to say that sometimes when it rains, it pours. So keep your chin up and know that many people have made it back through very difficult times. and I'm sure this accident will be difficult for the families and friends, for everyone involved. Anyone involved in a serious accident must make the decision long before it happens to stay positive and be determined to regain your life or make a new one, but choose to move forward. And I know that this will be very difficult for the judge's family, and also in these two young men being able to put their life back together, but we wish them the best. It only takes a moment for our lives to be changed. But whatever comes your way, decide to move on and stay forward and be the best that you can and help one another as much as possible.
Are you worried about what's going to happen next? Got those insurance company blues? Don't let a car collision keep you confused. Talking about you with Estra tells it like it is. You'll find wisdom, knowledge, and support now. Isn't it time for us to talk, to get the answers that you need? Every Saturday at 11 a.m. Get rid of those insurance company blues.
Now for my commentary on you and rejection. Adding rejection when someone is already hurting physically, emotionally, financially, in my opinion, creates an enormous amount of unnecessary suffering. Expectations of financial safety and security is thrown right out the window. In some cases, those you'd hope were trustworthy to turn out to be ones that are destined for holding on to the money you thought one day would be available for daily living and protection from any unseen tragedy. But what has happened? Has your expectations for insurance companies or employers held up to personal scrutiny? Fortunately, those with resources are able to protect their interest, in my opinion. And unfortunately, those average Jennas and average Joes may not be able to afford the same option. In fact, from my perspective, many have faced unrelenting harassment and intimidation in order to eliminate their claims. The psychological games played with their minds, in my opinion, could almost rival what soldiers may face on the battlefield. They must make decisions under duress. They must figure out the truth from fiction while still trying to hold on to a life that could quickly be fading. So what happens if and when a preponderance of rejections come from many directions in hopes of discouraging and breaking down those filing disability claims? How will you hold up if this happens to you? From my perspective, it depends on the level of past and current sufferings, how well informed you are on the objectives of this rejection, and current support systems. But most importantly, a determination not to give up on yourself. Make a decision how much you want to fight with those who have made a choice not to pay out on your disability claim. It takes a lot of time and energy for a person who is injured or sick to have to go through those hoops in the middle of trying to be healed. And another thing is, I'm just going to add also, is the fact that it could take, 2 to 10 years. That's a lot of someone's life to invest, and that's what they're counting on that you may not want to do. But in my opinion, those organizations that choose this path want to strike while you are at your most incapacitated. Thus, you are at your worst, but they are at their best. And if they keep it up long enough, they can hinder your recovery efforts and use up any additional energy you may have to take them on. But is this true? And what are your options? If you find someone to assist in struggles, make sure they do not work with the companies you are coming up against. That's a lot of strange bedfellows, people. Don't be surprised by the strange bedfellow people today. I'm just saying, it's kind of wild. It's important to always be your best advocate and to stay abreast on anything related to your well-being, which I'll add is, I know it's very difficult when you're not feeling well and you're trying to just survive each and every day. Another option is to take it gradually and to move slowly until health has a chance for improvement. It doesn't have to be all the way better, but just enough so that you can be able to do some things in your behalf. You know, it's a point where the best decisions can be made. This means learning what needs to be done and seeking out those who have taken the same road so you can learn from their mistakes and their victories, because victories are most important, in order to develop your own plan. A rejection does not mean it's over. From my point of view, it means finding the open door. You know what I'm saying? You just have to keep going. You can't be discouraged by other people's behavior. You have to make a decision that this is your life. This is the best thing in my interest. I'm going to be my best advocate, and this is how I'm going to move forward. You know, and additionally, you can decide not to deal with them at all, believe it or not. Yeah, you really can choose that. It's your life. You can make that choice and can just continue on your recovery. Just be determined to do very well in spite of the possible bad faith practices. Regardless of insurance or employer actions or behavior, remember this, it is your life. And you can choose your destiny, whether able or disabled. So don't give anyone, I repeat that, don't give anyone rights over you. It's given to you. That life was breathed into you, okay? Live it to your best abilities, and no matter what comes your way, you can't necessarily stop crazy things from happening, because sometimes they just kind of do. That's why I told Mike to keep his head up. So just no matter what rejection is faced, stay positive, go forward. Michelle Obama said something that I thought was really great. She was back talking to students in Chicago this last week, and she said that with all the things that were surrounding her, she focused on herself and the good things and positive and where she wanted to go. And in my opinion, that's a good motto to follow in most situations in life. They're always going to be the, as she called it, the haters, you know, or I call them the harassment and intimidators. But you can't let those types of people, or people who don't do what they know is right and fair, you can't let them stop you. You have to make that decision to say, hey, you know what? I'm moving on. You know, so seek out choices until you find what fits your needs. The most important thing, in my opinion, is not to allow rejection experiences by insurance companies or employers to create a bleak picture in your heart and mind. And that's so important. Remember, your heart and your mind belong to you. They belong to no one else. They're yours. And don't let people put things in there that would be negative and then hurt your dreams, your way of life, your recovery. Okay? Those are yours. Do things happen to hurt our hearts and shock our minds? Absolutely. Those things all the time. But you do not have to allow your heart or your mind to become bleak. You can make the decision to say, I'm going to go forward. You have options. Life is not futile. Although it may be hard because of insurance or employer's refusal to pay disability benefits in case you become disabled and sick. But from my perspective, in life, one reaps what one sows. So you may not see the results of this behavior, but I personally believe it will come. Life is just too short to stop dreaming and reaching for your goals. Use the rejection as a fuel to move forward in life. Okay? Realize this has no reflection, most importantly, on who you are, your value, your abilities. I'm going to repeat that, okay? Because I want you to make sure that you do realize that rejection has no value of who you are or your abilities. Okay? That's somebody else making decisions and choices based on their needs and desires, okay? Trust and believe in yourself and what you can do in spite of bad faith practices. Because in my opinion, you're always going to find someone who's going to try to rain on your parade. The only thing I can tell you is to keep an umbrella with you. Keep that umbrella and keep it open if you need to. And in this case, it might be a videotape and camera. Okay, so rejection, is it going to come? Yes, it is. Do you let it have to stop you from doing the things that you need to do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You keep your head up, you stay focused, you get healed, and you stay hopeful. Let nobody take your hope. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. Now, again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinions and have no association with the writers of them, and from time to time, I'll be stopping to comment on a section. The first article we're going to talk about today comes from AdvisorsToday.com, and the title of it is Dealing with Disability Denial Claims. And it says most disability insurance companies are finding that claims go out in exceeding their income from both premiums and return on investment. And the article is written by Larry Snyder. And Larry Snyder actually he owns and operates an agency exclusively devoted to disability income insurance. So, and he also does denied claims and expert witness consulting. Quote, over the last several years, the ratio of subjective claims, and he defines those as mental, nervous, soft tissue, back, chronic fatigue syndrome, etc., to non-subjective claims, which is like broken arms, heart attacks, etc., have increased dramatically to the point where more than a few disability insurers are no longer operating in the black. Most disability insurance companies are finding that claims outgo is exceeding their income from both premiums and return on investment by 12 to 15%. I have to stop right there. My opinion, if that were the case, then the profits that they're bringing in that are soaring, where are they coming from if they're not coming from the premiums that they're getting from their insurance? And another thing I'd also like to say, I haven't even gotten into this article very much yet, is that you have to recall that, insurance companies and employers are the ones writing these policies, so they're not going to write something that's not in their best interest. A lot of them put clauses in them so that after 2 years they can actually get out of it. So I'm not necessarily agreeing with everything I'm seeing so far. But let me go on. Quote, insurance company claims departments have been told to tighten up. I have to stop there. My question is, why would you tell your department to tighten up? It's supposed to be whether a person has actually been injured, they're hurt, whether they can actually be paid from their claim. It's not whether to tighten up so that you don't have to pay claims. The issue of your insured having that claim was in case something happened to be able to depend on that. So just because things aren't like you want them to be, you're going to decide, well, okay, well, we're going to tighten up. We're not going to give them out, in my opinion. I don't think that's acceptable. But let me go on. I'll start right here at the quote again. Insurance company claims departments have been told to tighten up, so they have taken a number of steps, both for long and short term, to try to stem what they see as a hemorrhaging due to subjective claims. For the long term, some carriers have resigned their policies limits, which is limit MNDA, which they say mental, nervous, drug, and alcohol. I didn't even know that was such a thing. Benefits, here it goes, to 2 years, and at least one has introduced a two-year limit on back soft tissue claims, right? So, and that's the end of the part I have to interject here. So basically what they're saying is that we entered into this agreement with you. We don't really want to pay out your claims, so we're going to start making sure that we only have to pay it for a short time, okay? That was not the agreement from what I can recall when I was paying premiums. I don't remember reading anything that said, okay, we're not making enough money, which most of them are, in my opinion, we're not making enough money here, so we're going to cut back on what we're giving out because we just can't handle all the claims that are coming our way. Okay, so to me, the whole concept of this is very problematic. Okay, I'm going to go on. For the short term, however, claims that might once have been paid, most of which are subjective, are now routinely denied. What I would say would be WTF on that. You know, you get injured, you're hurt. Subjective? Really subjective? You know, I will be so glad when there are tests that come out to show many things that people are calling quote unquote subjective can be confirmed. Because, in fact, if we can actually go in there and map a brain and recreate it into technology, IT, you're telling me we don't have the skills to be able to discern? I mean, most of the people, in my opinion, in the medical field that I've encountered, most of them, there's some that aren't too quick on the block, but most of them are pretty darn good. So I find it, and they are not the kind of people that are easily fooled. So where this is coming from, I have no idea. And another thing is, most people enjoy what they do. People take satisfaction in living and their jobs and their families. Who in their right mind wants to be injured? I don't know who they are. I know, in my opinion, it's not most people. Okay. In my opinion, I think this is something they just say to be able to not look so bad and being greedy and holding on to your benefits. But let me go on before I really get into that. Okay, I'm going to go back to this quote. The short-term, however, claims that might have once been paid, most of which are subjective, are now routinely denied. The usual reason now given to deny claims includes non-satisfaction of elimination period due to either the number of days of disability or not being consecutive, expiration of the benefit period, non-satisfaction of definition, terms and conditions for benefits to be paid for both total and residual disability. I just have to stop here. This is what I'm talking about them being able to write into their claims whatever, or into the policies, whatever rocks their boat, okay? This is not right. Why should they be able to just put anything in there and they can just subjectively, you want to use the word subjectively decide which claims they're going to pay out and which ones they're not? To me, there's a conflict of interest when the person who has to pay out is also the person that's evaluating you. To me, at least it would be someone that was an intermediary who wasn't being paid by them. That's problematic when they have so much power and control, in my opinion. Things don't always go as they should, and they don't always come out fair. And am I saying that all insurance companies don't do the right thing? Absolutely not. Thank God there are some out there who do the right thing. But it's unfortunate that so many people, in my opinion, are impacted by those who don't. Okay. Let me go on before I am in this article for the rest of our time. But misstatements and or omissions made on the claimant's original application are also being used as grounds for denial. In some cases, the errors were unintentional and may have come from unclear or ambiguous wording of the application question. No doubt. That's me here. I'm sure that things are set up in order to actually have it so that when they want their subjective denials, they can actually do that. That rejection comes just from their abilities to control most of the situations. Most people are sick. They don't feel good. They've been in car accidents. They're filling out paperwork. Give me a break. You know, it's lucky that they're in there trying to do the paperwork. Okay, I'm going to go back. That was just my comments there. The incontestability clause used to give the consumer some protection in the court systems has some of its protections losing ground, no joke. And the courts are deciding more frequently in favor of the carrier. Therefore, and that's the end of that, but I have so much to say to this. What kind of court system do you have if the court system is already set up against those who are injured? What is that, a court system of fairness? If they want this to be a court system for the rich people, just go ahead and say the rich people just get whatever they want. Why would you take people of lesser means through an ordeal when they've already been through such an ordeal? If the courts are going to continue to favor big business, if they're going to be in their pockets, in my opinion, in some cases, why would a person of average means spend their time, go to court, and expect something fair? To me, if you go to court, expect something not fair. And expose it. Expose it. Say, they have set this precedence of just being able to take care of those with means. Those with no means, you got problems. You know, and that's why in a lot of things you'll see where I say that people with wealth can go out and fight for their benefits. People who are, you know, in low, poor, or middle class, they don't have the resources to fight. So who is taking care of them? What happened to a system for the people, of the people, to protect the people? I am really not feeling this at this point. So, but I'm going to go on because I have a lot to say about a lot of things at this point. Quote, the most often used excuse to deny claims, from what I can see, relates to the definition an insurer uses for total disability. And this is so true. For example, that was my little interjection, by the way. The client, a cardiologist, has a subspecialty in invasive procedures. After his disability insurance policy was issued, he asked the carrier for a specialty letter because he wanted his occupational subspecialty as an invasive cardiologist to be specified and to be part of his own occupation definition for total disability. According to the client, this request was clearly stipulated to the agent when the policy was delivered. However, when the specialty letter was finally issued, it only mentioned cardiology. When the cardiologist explained to the agent that invasive cardiology was not addressed, he was told not to worry. To further compound his eventual problem, the policy had total disability benefits and no residual, which is loss of income protection. The first disability claim he submitted was paid based on his ability to do invasive surgical procedure. He eventually was able to resume doing all of his duties and so went off the claim. But a few years later, he submitted a new claim, which was denied. Why? Because the carrier judged the claim more harshly and decided that his disability did not satisfy his policy's own occupation definition for total disability. I have to stop here. There's something, first of all, they always, for total disability, that is to me the biggest catch. In my opinion, what happens is if they can't find a reason to deny you all the way down until they get to that 2-year mark, and then they want to say, okay, well, we can say that you can pull boogers from, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to go there. But if they're going to say that you can't do certain types of work, then they're just trying to set it up so they can say, hey, you could do anything. You could, you know, comb your hair in the morning or comb someone else's hair. They will go to just ridiculous, is the point I'm trying to make, extremes to try to deny that total disability. It's just really amazing. And that's really a point that really irritates me. Another thing it was the fact that a lot of times they will continue to try to do anything after that 2-year mark to end that policy. They do not want it to go into total disability, in my opinion. Those who are not wanting to pay your disability will institute that clause in order to get out of paying your benefits. Excuse me again. Sorry about that. Okay, so, and it makes it very difficult. And this is, and another thing I want to point out here is that this is a cardiologist who probably has a bit of knowledge about the insurance policy that he actually needed in order to coverage himself. And yet, and still, you see in this example, he still was not able to protect himself against a lot of the insurance companies. in my opinion, things that make it very difficult for disability claims to be paid out. How do you think someone who is actually an average Joe Jenna or Jenna and Joe, how do you expect them to be able to fight through this system of even having an average fair chance to be able to get their benefits in most cases? I just don't see it. Okay, I'm going to go on here. Insurers are also taking advantage of policyholders' misunderstandings as well as their lack of knowledge and the inability to contest claims due to educational, financial, or just plain emotional fatigue. I have to repeat this. This is so very important. Insurers are also taking advantage of policyholders' misunderstandings as well as the lack of knowledge and their inability to contest claims due to educational, financial, or just plain emotional fatigue. Because of the language of the contract, which can get convoluted, I'll say that it can get convoluted, and that's no joke in my opinion, and the various integrating benefits, riders, and exclusions, being able to find a way to defend the contract can be arduous. And this is done intentionally. So when you see rejections, know that it's not you. Like I said in my commentary, it has no impact on the value of you. It has to do with these people and their decision making and their actions. It has nothing to do with you. So when you get rejected from these people, do not take it personally as if there's something wrong with you. It's not anything wrong with you. You did not know you were going to be in an accident. You did not know you were going to need to use your policy. So make sure that you understand this was not a choice made by you, okay, in the terms of being in a car accident. I'm going to go on. Another client, a chiropractor, also submitted a claim that was denied. The grounds for denials were the policy had lapsed. Why had it lapsed? The policyholder had not paid premiums. This seems straightforward enough, but the premiums had not been paid because the insurer had moved and had not received any new bills for the premiums. So that's amazing. Here, the fault lay with both the client and the agent. The chiropractor had given his change of address to his agent verbally. The agent then called the company to give them that change. The clerk at the company, however, typed the new address into its records incorrectly, so the policyholder never got any subsequent bills for premiums. That's harsh. And that's why this is just a side note. Usually when I'm sending something of any importance, I either request a signature on it, because today it seems like people just don't really pay attention unless they know they're going to be held accountable. So if you're actually sending something away or need something, make sure that you get a signature confirmation in some way, even if you have to go and have them sign a piece of paper that you've made yourself. Okay, I'm going to go on. The contract clearly stated that all policy changes must be submitted in writing. So although there was a fault by both the agent and the client, the decision not to pay was reversed. The agent should have asked the client for his address in writing and should have submitted it to the insurance company in writing. However, these are small details, and I think the insurer was just looking for a way out of paying the claim. I'm just my interjection. I'm not surprised about that at all, unfortunately. Another denied claim came from a sales representative who submitted a claim due to a painful muscle nerve condition in her leg. On her long-term disability certificate, she was paid for 24 months, but then her benefits stopped, even though the policy benefit period was to age 65. And I have to stop here. This is, to me, the classic denial process that they do to millions of people who should be covered through their long-term disability through age 65. But they fight them and hold on to the money, which was not the agreement when you started paying the claims. They have no problem taking the money when you aren't asking for any services, but they sure have a problem paying it when you need it. So this is one of the things I think is important to know, is that even though you have a long-term disability, and particularly group, Individual long-term disability policies are a total different ballgame. If they're individual, you have legal recourse and you have rights. These group long-term disability policies are very problematic, in my opinion. Okay, I'm going to go on here. Quote, the benefits stopped because the group carrier didn't understand its own conditions for her continuing payment of the claim. The carrier had used a split definition for total disability in its contract, where for the first 2 years it was pure occupational definition. Excuse me, but after that, the definition became unable to work given education, training, and experience, and prior economic status. In this case, the claimant found it hard to work elsewhere because she'd been earning $200,000 a year before her claim. She sued and won. And that's a great thing. This lady was, this is me interjecting here, this lady was determined to actually to fight for her benefits, and she won. And that was a great thing. And at $200,000 a year, she probably had enough resources to go in there and fight them to get them. And I'm very glad that anyone who can does, because we need people in there fighting who can afford to go to court and challenge these. Because in my opinion, these insurance companies are employers. And remember, your employer can also be your insurance company, because they're the ones paying. And they call them self-insured employers. So don't just think because you see the name of an insurance company that they're the ones behind your insurance. Your insurance may be by a self-insured employer. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article. How can we minimize problems for our clients at claim time? One way, when you're researching policies for your client, is to use a carrier which has the best definition of total disability. That definition is unable to do the duties of your occupation. Not all carriers have the same definition for a particular occupation. Be aware of this definition. It's not always available for all occupations. Shop around until you find a policy that has it. Also, try to get a policy that states days need not be consecutive. By doing so, clients can have a stop-and-go disability, and the policy can serve the insured better than one in which days must be consecutive in order to count towards the elimination period. Also, make sure that the policy lets both residual and total disability days count towards satisfying the elimination period. Most carriers allow this, but some require that for them to count, a period of total disability must first precede residual. So, what can an agent do to prevent or minimize the chance of a denied claim? First, check the completed application carefully. Some critical areas of the application which affect a claim could be inadvertently answered incorrectly or dishonestly. Have to do with occupations, duties, health, income, and other pertinent facts such as vocation. So make sure, and I'm just stopping here for a minute. In my opinion, most people are very honest. You probably have that 80-20 rule, you know, 80% very honest, 20% something else. And I just think that most people don't want something that is not rightfully theirs. Most people want to help other people. Unfortunately, that 20% usually gets more attention than that 80%. But most people want to do the right thing. So when you realize that, and you be careful how when you're hearing people say things, whether you just take them at face value, especially things from the media, evaluate them, check them out. Don't be lazy. I'll repeat that. Don't be lazy. The reason why, in my opinion, a lot of the things we're going through in our society right now is because each individual person hasn't taken that responsibility seriously and finding out, is what they're being telling me truth and fiction? Are you looking around and saying, how many people are hurt by ERISA? Why aren't Congress reforming ERISA? Who benefits from this? So it's important to take a moment and look around and see what's really going on. And not only see, but be active. Somehow in our society, we've kind of like been frozen. We freeze up and we don't go and do anything about the wrongs that we see. We could see somebody being hurt down the road and not stop to help them. Thank goodness, I'm so encouraged when I read articles about people in car accidents and just bystanders and strangers coming up and supporting and helping people, because we are really one. We all are going to need help, and we all are going to need support. And respect and dignity goes a very long way. So from my point of view, the more you can do to make this place a better place individually, because that's where it starts. It's just with you, just with me, with making that decision not to just stand by it and not to just believe everything we see and not just to be taken by commercials, okay? Commercials have a place, but not a place, so much of a place in your mind that they remove your common sense, that they remove your common dignity. No. No. Stand for what you believe and do the things that are right to not only help people you know, but the people that you don't. Okay, that was right. Got off a little because I have so much to say on so many different things. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article here. So hopefully I'll wrap it up here in a few minutes here. Let's not forget the agent's role in completing the application. Did the agent record all answers exactly as they were answered? Or was there a hidden motive from writing them down in such a way that the policy would be issued as applied for without a rating or an exclusion? Did the agent really do the proposed insured a favor, or were these omissions for the agent's own gain? So, there you go. It's just like you have to be, it's definitely, unfortunately, let the buyer beware. I mean, we've gone too far with that. We're away from let the buyer beware. We need to go back to self-respect and self-dignity and honor. We need honor. Yes, that's what we need to go back to. Money is not all things. You might get it, and you might get it the right way or the wrong way. But I'll tell you, life, it's about how you treat and how you live, and that's what's going to really make a difference, not only for you, but for the people around you in our country and our world. Okay, I'm going to skip down here because it's a rather lengthy article, and it says, let's see. I want to go up just a little more because it looks like there's something else. If there is a claim conflict, there are ways to handle it. First, cooperate fully with all requests made by the claims adjuster. Second, ask for full explanation of all negative responses. Ask a supervisor to verify that inexperience or a bias didn't affect the adjuster's decision. Excuse me, most of the time they don't even tell you that you can actually go to a supervisor. You don't see that. But if you're not getting the results that you want and the answers that you need, do not hesitate to ask for a supervisor. Okay? It says all these elements are essential. The biggest concern that I see is if the carrier is contesting a long-term claim of a subjective type, claimants can expect carriers to play hardball. And I need to stop right there for a moment. I agree 100%. And the reason why, the thing that bothers me the most about this is that many times insurance companies or employers see these types of injuries, and they've seen it time and time again. They know what happens with people. Usually the people who are injured have no idea what's going on. They're concerned about what's happening with my body. I've not seen this before. My body's never acted this way. They're very, very worried about what's going on with them. But insurance companies and employers have enough information to have seen this so many times before. In my opinion, the reason why they play hardball is because they want to keep your money. I'm going to go on here. It says they can expect surveillance and or possible buyout of the claim, and the buyout can be for 20 cents on the dollar. Did you hear that? So if they don't want to pay your disability claim, they will play hardball with you, which means they will do anything reasonable and unreasonable not to pay your claim. You can expect that they will put you under surveillance to harass and intimidate you as much as humanly possible, which is it's just awful. And then they'll do a possible buyout on the claim, and they want to pay you out of a dollar, they'll give you 20 cents on the dollar. What is wrong with that? So they want to buy your claim out, your long-term disability claim off out, expect you to be able to live off of 20 cents on the dollar for the actual amount that they give you that would have covered the contract of your disability claim. Now tell me there's something not right with that. Who would expect that? The thing that bothers me even more, in my opinion, is the fact that if you ask these same people to take the deal they're giving you, they probably would not. They would think you are crazy. But yet and still, they want you to take it. Something's wrong with that picture, in my opinion. Okay, let me go on. I've only got three more paragraphs here because there's a lot I could have said. I had to even actually drop down and not to go through a few of it. So make sure you go out and take a look at this article because it's definitely worth reviewing. It has been my experience that there are carriers who will habitually and excessively deny legitimate claims. I have to read that again. It has been my experience that there are carriers who will habitually and excessively deny legitimate claims. So this is where your rejection comes in. You wonder why the rejection happens? In my opinion, this is why. Many carriers establish a system to wear down claimants by either overwhelming them with paperwork or by using the hierarchy, which is interesting there. And so I have to stop here one more time. Hopefully this will be the last stop. Maybe two, okay. The thing that bothers me the most about this is this means they know what they are doing, that they are purposely hurting their insured so that they don't have to pay them, that they're making insured's life, which is already bad because they've been injured in a car accident or they're sick and they're trying to get their life back in order, but yet and still they've got all these barriers, in my opinion, from these type of insurance companies or employers to try to stop them from being able to be paid on their disability claim. I just don't think it gets any worse than that. Okay, I'm going to read this last paragraph here. Quote, I believe strongly, and this is Mr. Snyder talking, I believe strongly that these inappropriate carrier denials must stop so that litigation would only be for claimants' bad faith or claimants' fraud. If current methods of disputing inappropriately denied claims routine, then in most cases the insurance company with deep pockets will surely win. You know, and that's the truth. And that's the sad state of affairs with that. I've got to read that again because there's a lot of things in there, and I don't think I could say it any better. Mr. Snyder says, I believe strongly that these inappropriate carrier denials must stop. I agree with that. So that legitimate litigation would only be for claimants' bad faith or claimants' fraud. If current methods of disputing inappropriately denied claims continue, then in most cases the insurance company, the insurance company with deep pockets will surely win. And that's a sad state of affairs. But it's so true. I really thank you, Mr. Snyder, for this article. It's one of the best ones I've read as far as what really happens with the insurance company and people who are filing for disability claims. It really makes a difference. And the important thing is that people who are injured need to know this, and they need to know it before actually being in the battle. So when people who are injured see this coming, they're not surprised. They're not overwhelmed. They might be very disappointed because it'll be people they believed in and trust, but at least they'll know what's happening. Wow, what a packed show we had today. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Meet you back here next Saturday so we can continue our conversation. Remember to like Esther's blog tips on Facebook while looking at today's links. And I want to extend a special thank you to Fabian Claudel, InternetArchives.org, Force M, Santana, Spiral Gyro, Richard Clutterman, Frank Mills, Al Hurt, James Edward, Cora Kaya, Marcus Miller, and Davis Rees, and in particular to Mr. Snyder, whose article today was very interesting to review, and his link is also out on our website. So, we hope that you'll have a great weekend, and remember to do all you can to be all that you can, and to stay forward and positive. Moving forward and stay positive. Thanks for being with us on Talking About You with Estra, and I'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive, assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed Estra's radio show and Estra's TV to state her opinion, in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Estra's TV and Estra's radio show is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168. Email is sunlightpublishing@gmail.com. Thank you.